Blog Talk Radio.
But none of that even matters now. Your history isn't your destiny. And you'll find in this life that if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. But today's a new day. You stop looking at all the reasons why you consider yourself a victim. You're still here. Nothing has stopped you yet. You've been hit, you've been poked, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt. There's no doubt life has challenged you, but you're still here. You're no victim. You're a victor. You have a history of victory. The only truth is that you are nothing less than spectacular. Stop doubting yourself. You were put on this earth to thrive. Don't you dare put a question mark where God put a period.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
What's up? You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Welcome, welcome. What are we doing today? Feedback? Let's do some feedback. Listen, if you ever want to check out any archives of any show we have ever done, you can check out empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You could feedback today. It's a feedback show. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word. ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Feedback is any topic. Am I reading this right? Any topic today. This is a one hour feedback show. So let's keep it going. First, hey, a Better Today community, keep doing it. All of you keep doing it. Anyone who wants to participate and not just complaining about the state of affairs in your world or in the world around us, but those of you who want to participate in mending it, never forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. It's that simple. It's that simple. Go out there and live it. Be the change you wish to see, as Gandhi said. Be that change. Get out there and participate. Participate in your day. Get out there and participate in every way that you can. Any way and every way that you can. Get out there and make a difference. Make a difference in your community. Make a difference in your home. Make a difference in your family. Make a difference with your friends. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there. Hey, let's get going with the feedback show. We've only got an hour today, and I know you got plenty of feedback. Let's keep it going. Again, feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Let's start off with Erica. Erica's in Oklahoma, and Erica writes, "Hey Steve, welcome back. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I wanted to talk about families and families getting together and holidays and these type of things. It seems to me almost difficult to talk about anything of substance with our families without getting into an argument. Everyone's got different opinions, from religious belief to their own bitterness and scars that they bring into whatever conversation they have. How do you find it best to navigate through these difficult conversations without getting into an argument and finding yourself involved in all the control dramas?" Hey, Erica, that's a great question. You know, the best way is to avoid it. The best way is to avoid it. I know that it becomes a difficult thing I think that it's a difficult thing to avoid that kind of passionate conversation. Here's where it becomes important. You have to recognize, Erica, that everyone's got their agreement with reality, just like you. You got to remember that. You know, there's that saying that when you're arguing with a fool, when you are arguing with a fool, make sure they aren't doing the same thing. In other words, sometimes from the person looking on, you can't tell the difference who the fool is. So you have to know that there are certain conversations that are passionate conversations, religion, politics, these type of things, especially in this kind of climate where, you know, no matter what country you're in, the political climate is a tense one. The financial climate is a tense one. So the best thing you could do is try to avoid that. Keep conversation upbeat. But if you get into those conversations, which are really difficult to avoid in these type of situations, then understand that other people have their opinion too, Erica. We all have our opinions, and we all think we're right. We all think we're right, and we all have our opinions because we all have our agreement with reality. So listen to other people. You might learn something. You might learn something. If you don't learn anything about the topic, you might learn something about humanity. It's very interesting to watch people argue their points of views. It's very interesting to watch people argue the things that make them feel good and sure at their core. It's an interesting thing to watch as a student of humanity, watching people argue. So watch, pay attention, but most important, Erica, to be respectful. To be respectful. You're a fan of this show. You know I've had people on this show. I've had plenty of people on this show who, as far as I'm concerned, said ridiculous things, had ridiculous beliefs. But I listen, I'm respectful, because guess what? Who cares? Who cares what they think? As long as they're being nice. Like I said, if you believe in a one-legged frog, if your God is a one-legged frog in a wheelchair, what do I care? As long as you're doing nice, that's great. Tell me about your God. Tell me about the wheelchair. Tell me about the one leg. Tell me whatever you want to tell me about. Why would I argue that with you? That would be silly. That would be silly. So instead, Erica, listen and remember that they're your family, and remember that you can be respected. You want to be respected for your opinion. And even if they're not respecting you for your opinion, you know how that feels, so don't return that. Take the high road, as they say, Erica. Listen to what they have to say. And most of the time, you'll recognize that when they're angry about their opinion, it's because they don't really feel solid with it. They don't really feel solid with it. So they raise their voice and et cetera. But I don't know that there's any way to avoid these type of conversations, Erica, but there is a way for you to avoid joining into the disrespect, for you to avoid joining into the yelling and being argumentative. And then enjoy your meal. Have a good time. Have a little vino, Erica. Well, hold on. Before I say that, I don't know how old you are. If you're old enough, have a little vino and enjoy the holidays. Get a move away from that conversation. If it starts heating up at the table, go see what's happening in the other room. Go see what's happening outside. Go do anything and bring your vino with you and enjoy the holidays. Keep it upbeat and never forget that that family has sometimes a very weird way of showing you that they love you. So thank you so much for your feedback. Let's keep going. Feedback, folks. Feedback could be about anything today. Feedback today, well, Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. We got Gregory. Gregory's writing in from Wichita, Kansas. And Gregory writes, Steve, glad to see that you're back. Can you please talk a little bit more about religion? You had mentioned earlier, and even as I type this, you're talking about allowing people to have their views. What about your views? You seem to share your views pretty strongly on this show. How convinced are you of your belief in religion from a 0% to 100%? The reason I'm asking is because I'm beginning to study and ponder religion myself. I appreciate your point of view. I'm also curious on how you do in tolerating other people's religions. Thank you so much. Big fan. Hey, thanks, Greg. As far as tolerating other people's religion, I think that whole concept's silly, that you tolerate. Just the idea that you would tolerate something gives you the impression that you are somehow better than they are and that you're tolerating their nonsense. I don't look at it that way at all. I tolerate people's religions in the sense that I respect everyone's religion. And whatever their religion may be, there are plenty of people who are agnostic or atheist who that is their religion. Their religion is a belief system, your belief system of the structure of how things go. For some people, science is their religion. For some people, there is no religion. No religion is their religion. So it's not so much tolerating as understand that people have different points of view. As far as my own point of view, on a scale of 0 to 100, I'm always learning. I'm always learning. I'm always refining, improving, and adjusting my point of view. I try to learn so much. I think that I've gone through different phases in my life. I've gone through different phases where I was heavily into the spiritual end of this human experience. I was heavier into the religious end of this human experience, and currently now I'm heavy into the human side, the humanitarian side of this incredible experience that is our human journey. So as far as my own religion, my religion to this day would be kindness. My religion would be compassion. My religion would be friendship. My religion would be love. My religion would be endless love. I mean, that would be my religion. How confident am I in that? 100%. That's never turned out bad for me. Now, I've said before on this show, I was raised Catholic, so of course the Christian religion identifies most with me because it's how I was raised. The story of Jesus for me is an incredible story filled with messages that could, if people would follow and listen, would do amazing things for our world. Does that mean I think that's what all of you should do? No. I don't care what you do, just like you shouldn't care what I do. We should get out there and show our love. There's no religion that teaches hate. I know that some religions try to say that about other religions, but it's not true. There's no religions that teaches hate. There are no religions that teach that. The religions are found on compassion, on love, on respect. The religions are found on unity. They get skewed by people who take them over and people who turn them into a business and look for a following and try to grow them. It becomes skewed into this dogmatic thing that does breed hate, that does breed violence, that does separate people. But that's not the religion. That's not the religion at all. That's the people behind it. That's the people behind it. It's the truth. You know, it has built this structure. There has been this structure built around religious institutions. And once you start talking about religious institutions, you're no longer talking about the messages they share. You're no longer talking about the incredible stories that have been passed down from generation to generation. You're no longer talking about that. You're talking about an institution, a structure. It's no different at this point than IBM or Apple or any major corporation or Google or any kind of global entity. You're not talking about the mysticism anymore. You're not talking about the power anymore. You're not talking about the strength anymore. You're not talking about these things anymore. Instead, what you're talking about is an institution. Now we call it the church or the Mormon church or the temple or just in general Muslims. And we start separating into this big piece where it becomes an institution instead of recognizing that there's a message that was there, that none of that existed before. And that the people who are behind the ideas of those religions, they wouldn't be for what they turned into today. they wouldn't be for what they turned in today. So I'm not anti-religion at all. I'm pro anything. I am pro anything that makes you feel like doing better, that makes you feel if life has knocked you down. I'm pro anything that makes you remember that you have the power to get up. What I'm anti is the crooks selling you that as something other than it is. That I'm anti. I'm anti the crooks who are selling you the prayer cloth. And I'm anti the crooks who are telling you that if you pay 10%, then somehow God will forgive you for your sins. I'm anti the crooks who tell you those type of things. I'm anti the crooks that tell you that God, your God or any God, is found in a building, or that they're any closer to God than you are. I'm anti all those crooks. I'm not anti-religion. I'm anti-crooks. Just like I'm anti, as you've watched, Greg, in these past 5 or so years, 6 years maybe I've been doing this radio show, you watched as I had grown from when I first started this show, being so deep into this idea of this self-help community. And if you listen now, you can know that I've got both legs out, and that I too, after seeing how the community is actually run and who are the charlatans in this community, I have made the adjustment and saying the same things. I'm not against the self-help industry as much as I am the crooks who run it. The crooks who mostly contribute to it, the crooks who have hijacked it. I'm not anti an industry as much as I am the crooks. The same with religion. I'm not anti the industry. The idea of it is amazing. The idea of anything that can remind you of that divine spark within you, that can remind you of how powerful you are, how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, your ability to heal spiritually, emotionally, mentally, your ability to heal your world, your ability to get up after life has knocked you down. I'm pro anything like that. I'm just anti the crooks who try and sell it to you as something other than it is. So I hope that helps, and good luck on your quest and understanding religion. It's an interesting track to look back in religious history, not only on religious history, but to see in human history and how we've always developed. You know, humans have always had some sort of religion. You know, today we're talking about Christianity and Jesus, and it's not so long ago that they were talking about Zeus and Osiris and Hercules, and these we consider them myths now. We consider them myths now, but don't forget that the myths of today were yesterday's religions. Was yesterday's religions. Does that mean, it could mean very well that 1,000 years from now, they'll be talking about our Jesus and our Muhammad, just like we talk about their Zeus and their Osiris and their Hercules. Because don't forget, in those days, they weren't a myth. They were real, and people would pray, and people would die in their name, and there was no mythology to it at all. This was their true religion, just like we feel Jesus is, just like we feel about Jesus and Mary and Noah's Ark and Muhammad and Krishna. I mean, this was their religions also. But their time has passed. Their civilizations have fallen, and ours haven't yet. So who knows? Maybe 1,000 years from now, 2,000 years from now, maybe 500 years from now, I don't know. They could be talking about our gods in that same mythological way. Enjoy your studying, brother. Most important, remember, one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I have yet to find a religion that could be as impactful as one person taking that kind of action every single day. So thanks for your feedback. Let's keep going. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word. You could also feedback through our website, Empowered Living Radio. empoweredliving.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Let's go with Ashley. Ashley is in Oregon, and Ashley writes, "Hey, Steve, big fan of the show. Thank you so much for doing another feedback show. You know I have to bring it to relationships, and I was curious, when you talk about relationships, and you have mentioned this before, but I don't know that you ever mentioned a relationship in which one person is religious slash spiritual slash heading towards something better in life, and the other is content where they are. I don't know if you've mentioned this before, but if you wouldn't mind, could you please mention how to deal with a relationship like that? Will the relationship be lost? Thank you so much. Big hugs." No, I mean, the relationship would be lost if you lose it. The relationship doesn't have to be lost because of that, just like it doesn't have to be lost if one person likes reading books about science and the other likes reading, I don't know, the books about vampires and werewolves. I mean, it doesn't have to be lost. Where it gets lost is in the communication. Relationships are rarely lost. I've said this a million times. I'm about to say it a million and one. Relationships are rarely lost because of lack of love. It's lack of friendship that loses relationship. It's lack of friendship that loses that connection. So, you know, Ashley, if one of you, and I'm gonna assume that it's you who's into personal enhancement, since you're the one listening to the show. If one of you is into personal enhancement, if one of you is into refining your life, improving your life, enhancing your life, if one of you is into spirituality and all it has to offer, if one of you is into that and the other isn't, that's okay. As long as the one who isn't bringing you down for being into it, and as long as you aren't bringing them down for not being into it. If respect is there, you're okay. Just keep the lines of communication open, like you would in anything else. If the person you're with likes tennis or football or soccer or baseball, whatever it is, and you could care less, you wouldn't tell them when they say, "Oh, there was a great football game today." You wouldn't say, "Oh, I could care less. Don't tell me." I mean, if you would, then your relationship's in trouble anyways. But in a healthy relationship, even though you could care less about the result of a football game, but they're excited to tell you, listen. Listen to it. Listen to what they have to say. Participate in that conversation. So just like you would do for that, hopefully you would do for that, you can do for whatever they're into. Maybe they'll do it for whatever you're into. Maybe they'll say, "Hey, I'm not into the latest spirituality book or self-help show," or maybe they say, "You know what, I'm really not into that Steve Maraboli show you listen to," but that's okay. You can still talk to them about what you're feeling, talk to them about what you want to change in your life, talk to them about what you want to adjust in your life, and hopefully they'll listen attentively. If they don't, then you don't have a spiritual relationship problem as much as you have a communication problem. And that would be true about anything. But take the opportunity, especially if you're into self-help, if you're into personal enhancement, if that's where you're at in your life where you want to enhance yourself personally, then one of the steps of enhancing yourself personally is increasing your effectiveness at communication. This goes out to everybody, not just Ashley who wrote in. I want you all to listen again. If you are on a mission, if part of what you want to do is enhance yourself, to improve your life, to make that refinement in your life, which should be all of us, we should never stop refining and improving our lives. If you want to do that, then a vital component of that is effective communication, not only with oneself, but with others. So if you're improving yourself, Ashley, take this as a test, as an exercise, to open communications with that person that you're in a relationship with. Even if they're not into what you're into, you're not into what they're into, open lines of communication. Worst case scenario, you have open lines of communication and you realize that, no, maybe you're not for each other. But you won't know that until you open these lines of communication, until you have that conversation, until you're open and able to share about your life. You should always be in a relationship. You should always be able to share your life, to talk about your life, to speak openly about your life without judgment. Man, there's judgment everywhere. Ashley, listen to me when I tell you this. There's judgment everywhere. So make sure you have open communication without judgment. And also, don't forget that other people around you, when you make that change to want to improve your life, something funky happens. Something funky happens to the people around us. When you want to change your life, something weird happens to them. It's almost as if you wanting to change their life to change your life is almost an attack on their life. It's something weird that happens to the people that are around us when we want to change our lives. It's something weird. So keep in mind that the person you're with may just feel weird about this sudden change that you want to go through. They may feel weird, and if it's a guy, then guys are even weirder than women when it comes to this, because guys kind of shrink down a little bit. They shrink down. Guys don't. We're not used to dealing with empowered women. We're not taught to deal with empowered women. We're not used to it. We live in a society that doesn't empower women. It says it wants to, but it doesn't really empower women. You don't see the well-educated, the savvy, the wise, those women who persevere. You don't see those on TV. All you see is the young ones with big boobs, and who knows if they can read or not. They might not. We don't know. So you have a society that says it wants to empower women, but in the reality of it, doesn't really empower women. So the empowered women tend to intimidate men who aren't used to seeing empowered women. So if this is a guy that you're with, Ashley, and you start changing yourself and start empowering yourself, most men don't know how to handle that. Don't cut him off right away, because it's not his fault. He hasn't been given the tools to deal with your badass self. So open those lines of communication. Open those lines of communication. When you do that, you will be nourishing your relationship in so many ways. And you'll find out. You'll either solidify your relationship to better than it's ever been, or you may find out that perhaps you have come to a point where you two no longer fit. But either way, you won't know unless communication lines are open. And thank you so much, Ashley, for writing in. Big hugs to you from New York as well. Folks, we're doing feedback today. Feedback to the AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more feedback. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor,
and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that could admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
One person at a time, one day at a time.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. You can check out abettertoday.com and, of course, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Every single show we've ever done is available there. We're doing feedback today. Feedback today, well, and it's a message of the screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Or you can feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Big hugs to everyone listening. Big hugs to everyone standing outside of the studio here, watching and listening at the same time. Thank you all so much. And we're going to keep going with some more feedback. Let's go. All right. Let's go with Paul. Paul is in Arizona, and Paul writes, Steve, you bring up a great point about humanism and spirituality, something that I've been thinking about recently. Do you think that the age of metaphysics is gone? Thank you, big fan. No, I don't think it's gone. I think that's always there, just like poetry isn't gone. It's always there. Metaphysics is it's the physics of tomorrow, a lot of it. Some of it, and a lot of it isn't the physics of tomorrow. But it's by pondering these things that we find out. It's by pondering these things that we find out what we're actually doing, what science advances we're making, and that kind of stuff. So, no, I don't think it's gone, and I don't think it should ever be gone. I think that would be silly for it to be gone. Where I'm finding the balance myself in my own life is that we're you always hear it, we're not humans that have a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings who have a human experience. Well, that's true, so we need to have that human experience. And the more the older I get, And I'm so blessed that also the more successful I get, the more I realize how much it had to do with the human experience as well. And that's what's left out. It's left out of what's taught. It's not left out if we pay attention and watch, but it's left out of what's taught. So the old, what I'm saying, the old school spirituality movement, which is still alive and well now. I mean, that's what most of the books are. Most of the books are. It's kind of why I stopped having authors on. You know, I'm going to be kind of selective about the authors that come on, and mostly going to be friends of the show unless somebody really catches my eye, because the books are staying the same. So I think that I'm one of the few that are feeling this movement go somewhere else, but because the books are still saying the same, the ones that are selling are still selling the same stuff, where it's poetic. A lot of it's poetic, Paul. It's poetic, and it sounds so beautiful, and it will forever be beautiful. And metaphysics and the spiritual metaphysics, the essence of what is, will always make you feel amazing, and I know it'll always make me feel amazing. But then I got to go out and I got to do it. I think that's where the balance needs to be found. It's what I've told you before. It's simple. For some reason, when it comes to our spirituality, when it comes to our religion, and when it comes to our self-help industry, for some reason, that's the only place we allow ourselves to suspend our rationality. We just turn it off. Rationality doesn't exist. Oh, wait, if I want a jar of peanut butter, I don't have to go get it. I just have to meditate and think. And it'll just appear, and I'll be attracted to the jar of peanut butter. But we suspend our rationality for that. That's silly. Oh, if I see people who need help, I'm going to just say a prayer every day. Every night I'm going to spend an extra 20 minutes saying a prayer. Folks, that's great and beautiful. But again, suspending rationality. If you spent those 20 minutes every night going and helping those people, then you would be, instead of you going and praying, you would be the answer to their prayers. But I've learned that on a quest to spirituality, while it's often required for you to suspend your rationality, I'm learning as I get deeper into my own life that true spirituality asks that you enhance your rationality. It is by marrying those two. It's by combining those two. I find that when I combine my spirituality and rationality, that is, I mate my spirituality with my humanity. I notice that the offspring is a psychological, emotional, and spiritual success that people are writing about, success that draws all you listeners. All you listeners are drawn to success. It is the offspring. It is the offspring of my mating, my spirituality with my humanity. Not making one stronger than the other, but mating them in a cohabitation, a joint marriage that respects both sides. There is, I let the spirituality be the spirituality, and I let the humanity be the humanity. Just like I run my businesses, I have somebody who does the marketing. I don't do the marketing. That's not my strength. Somebody else whose strength is marketing, I let them market. They are brilliant at marketing. They market. When it's time to do the Better Today magazine, I don't try and design a magazine. I send it to somebody who is brilliant at making magazines. Why would I try and invade their space? When it's time for me to write, I write. When it's time for me to do the show, I do the show. When it's time for me to have that, whatever I've written, edited and copy edited and proofread, that gets sent to somebody else. so the way that I run my business, it would be silly. It would be silly for me to tell somebody, hey, I know that you're a graphic designer, but I'm going to design the magazine. That would be silly for me to do that. Of course I'm going to have the designer design. Of course I'm going to have the marketer market. Of course I'm going to have the editor edit. Of course I'm building this beautiful office. I let the construction people do construction. And when it's time to write, when it's time to evaluate, and when it's time to turn on a microphone and speak, I'll do it. So just like I sectioned that off, I realized, why would I let my spirituality be in charge of my humanity, and why would I let my humanity be in charge of my spirituality? That's silly. Separately, on their own, they are incredible forces. They are strong. And when I marry them two, just like the strongest marriages are not one where they meld into one person, that doesn't make sense. But the strongest relationships, the strongest marriages are when you both keep your individual greatness and you merge it together to create something even greater. That's what I learned to do with my spirituality and my humanity. I learned to keep my spiritual, my inside is clean, clear, transparent. Learn to call myself on my own BS. Learn to call myself on my own terrorizing self-doubt. I've learned to clear away through my spirituality. I've learned the essence of what it feels to be one with everyone. Through my spirituality, I've learned what I believe and feel is my God. And through my spirituality, I can feel and crave the desire to improve not only myself, but bring in anybody I could bring with me to a greater way of living with happiness, love, compassion. Through my spirituality, I'm able to do and feel and create this beauty inside of me, which I want, can't help but radiate outside of me. But in order to apply it to the earth, I use my humanity. I don't pray my way into a new office. I clear my thoughts. I pray in the inward communication of myself. And then I get out there and my humanity builds a new office. I didn't pray 2 best-selling books into existence. My humanity, after being cleared by my spirituality, my humanity did that. When we share them, we go out there and I've married the spirituality and the humanity. When I give a homeless veteran a meal, that's not my spirituality, that's my humanity. I've married the two. They are one, but at the same time, they have their individual strengths. And as we see, as I was saying earlier, as we see, this hasn't been being relayed. You've been sold all spirituality. And as I've learned from marketing, the reason why they do that, do you know why the reason they do that is? Because they know you wouldn't be in the self-help section if you were happy with your humanity. This is real now. They know you wouldn't be in the self-help section of your bookstore or the spiritual section of your bookstore if you were happy with your humanity. They know that you're in that section because your humanity is going rough right now. And they don't want to do the responsible thing and have you face that issue and recognize that you can go past and blast past any difficulty in humanity by counteracting with your amazing sense of humanity. They don't want to tell you that, so instead they help you get drunk off your spirituality. Are we going to be real? Are we going to be real? They get you in there because you, instead of going to the bars to anesthetize your human pain, instead of going to a bar, you went to the self-help section. You went to the spiritual section. You went to the New Age section. And the marketers of those sections know that you wouldn't be in that section if your humanity was going well. So they don't want you. They don't want to turn you back into humanity. They don't want to necessarily help you fix the issue. They want you to be anesthetized. They want to numb you. They want to get you drunk with spirituality. Woohoo! How long have you been drunk with your spirituality? How many years, how many books have passed through your hands that got you drunk with your spirituality? But as soon as that drunk high gets done, as soon as that drunk is gone, what do you end up with? You end up with that hangover feeling. You are hungover. Why? Because humanity has punched you in the face because you read all the books and you heard all about the beauty of your spirituality, but the next month your bills keep coming, don't they? Those bill collectors keep calling, don't they? That's what's important. That you recognize that you have been drunken. You have been anesthetized by this spirituality, which has its own place. But your spirituality isn't going to make those phone collectors go away. Your spirituality isn't going to make those bills stop coming, those red ones. You know the red. When they use the red paper, you know you're in trouble. Or the red envelope. You know you're in trouble. You're getting the red envelope, and you're reading these spiritual books that are saying, what you do is create an image of abundance. Create an image of abundance. You are no longer lacking. Create an image. See flowing money just flowing in and out of your hands. Visualize everything you ever want. And your bills keep coming. How different would your life be if you allowed your spirituality to clean up the inside and allowed your humanity to clear up the outside? What would happen? What would happen if you finally sobered up from spiritual drunkenness and went out and changed your life? Well, the first thing that would happen is that you'd see that industry shrink. And all the charlatans would go jump to something else. They'd start selling whatever snake oil they can sell next. But you would learn a vital component to anyone's greatness is that you, with your humanity, can change things. With your spirituality, you can keep your insides clear. Your spirituality can keep your moral and ethical compass clean, but it is you through your humanities that you're going to make the changes in your life. It is your humanity. It is incorporating the spirituality in your humanity. Folks, introduce them to each other. Folks, make sure you send them off on a honeymoon. Put the do not disturb sign on the door and let them go at it, because when spirituality and humanity mate in your life, the offspring is a success and a dynamic life like you have never experienced. How would your life be different if you put those two components to work with, not against, each other? Everything would change. How would it change if you made your life the prayer? What if instead of praying for something to change, you got up off your knees and you went and changed it? How would your life be different if instead of praying that the jar of peanut butter would be returned to your cupboard, how would your life be different if you were thankful that you can just go get one? How would your life be different if instead of praying for health, you started living your prayer. You started living healthy. Not just praying healthy. Pray healthy all you want, but then get up and live healthy. Pray for success all you want, but then get up and live that success. Pray for change all you want, but then get up and create change. How would your life be different if these two got together and you allowed them to meet and court each other and mate and have that offspring of success? Well, you know what your life is like when you're drunk off the spirituality. You know what that's like. You get highs and lows. You get highs and lows. Oh, this book was amazing. I feel amazing. I'm trying this new kind of meditation, and I'm trying this, and I'm trying that. And you're drunk. You're drunk. You're drunk. And then you get off, and some people respond differently. Some people get angry when they sober up, and they lost it all together. They're angry. And, oh, nothing could ever change. It's never going to change. Never going to change. And they're angry in general. Their life has somehow become worse after that intoxication of spirituality. Some people come back and they just wait for the next one. Oh, well, I tried that, but it didn't really work. There must be something wrong with me. I bought it. Everyone else said that it worked well, but it didn't work well for me. So maybe I'm just wrong, and I'll just wait for the next fad to come out, for the next quick fix to come out from superstar guru. Folks, you are being sold this stuff. And I tell you this because as one of you that came into this industry, I wish I could show you. Most contracts that companies send you, there's a clause in there that makes it illegal for you to share publicly what their contract says. It's illegal for you. To share in those contracts that says, by seeing this contract, you cannot share or divulge or whatever. You can't show these contracts. But I wish it didn't say that, because I would love to show some of you the offers I've received from some companies, some big companies. And you should see what they want. They have a whole marketing plan. They know all your weaknesses. They know all your weaknesses, and they say, Steve, you know, we love what you do. This is what we'd like to use your name for, basically, is what they're saying. We'd like you to do this and have this program and this 30 days to this and 5 days to this, and all, and they want to make it simple, 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 and you're going to buy it, buy it, buy it. And guess what else is going to happen? You're going to get drunk, 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 and then you're going to get hungover, and you're going to want a quick fix again, and you're going to go right back to the self-help section, aren't you? So needless to say, I turn all these down. But I've become even more disgusted the more and more offers I get. Steve, give somebody a quick takeaway. How can they just quickly do this? There is no that. They've been making the wrong decision for 40 years. I can't possibly tell them that they're going to turn it around in one day or in 30 days. I can tell them that their life will begin to change the second they start changing their actions. But that's not going to make for an exciting book. That's not going to make for an exciting book. If you want a book that's going to say, I know you've been messing up and making the wrong self-destructive decisions for 45 years, but in 1 week, you'll be all better. That's the book they want, and I'm not going to write that, and I'm not going to put my name to that. That's not how it works. The second you start changing the way that you live your life, changes start happening. Yes. But they don't happen that fast. What ends up happening is that you end up changing the way that you start living. You start changing the way that you start feeling. You start changing the way that you start acting. You start changing the way that you are incorporating your spirituality and your humanity. You start changing the way you take responsibility for your own actions. You start changing the way you start working. You start changing the way you sleep. You change the way you exercise. You change the way you eat. Suddenly you start changing things and your whole life starts changing. It's not that everything gets fixed overnight. What ends up happening is your attachment to things that aren't fixed starts changing. Your attachment to these mistakes starts changing. Your feeling of underwhelm. Underwhelm is when you're not sure if you could even do it. It's having a low self-esteem. It's seeing the mountain and thinking you can't climb it. You start changing your life. Even that feeling starts changing, and you start thinking, oh, maybe I can climb this mountain. Well, maybe this mountain wasn't as big as I thought it was. Maybe I'm not as slow as they told me. Maybe I'm not as slow as I told me. Maybe I'm stronger than I ever thought. Maybe everyone who bet against me. Maybe others who bet against me. Are about to find out they made the wrong bet. That, folks, starts happening. And then, no, it doesn't happen in a week, but before you know it, you've healthily took off 10 pounds, maybe 15 pounds. And no, you didn't lose it in the week like that book told you to do. And no, you didn't lose it in the week like that thing. You can just drink this shake every single day. You spend the next 2 days on the bowl, but after that, you're going to be a size whatever. Maybe it didn't happen that fast, but in a healthy way, changing the way your life changes, maybe to be 6 months, maybe to be a year that you lost 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, but you lost it in a healthy way, which means it's going to stay off because you're going to stay badass. Those kind of books don't sell. Only the books that sell you spiritual, drunken nonsense seem to be the hype. But folks, eventually you'll realize that you are amazing. And they're realizing it. And you're realizing it. I'm always so honored when I see how many thousands of people have picked up Life, the Truth, and Being Free. How many hundreds of thousands of more people listening to this show. You're out there. You're with me. When I'm talking about this spiritual drunkenness, I know you're with me. I know you felt it. It hurts the ego a little bit to think that you're in that group, but believe me, I've been in that group. I'm in that group. I'm there with you, and guess what? I'm getting out with you. Have a wedding and a honeymoon for your spirituality and your humanity. Let them mate. And enjoy the offspring, which will be your new dynamic life. Clean on the inside, clear out on the outside. Have a plan. You get your butt out there, and you start changing your life and inspiring all those around you. That is empowered living. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our website, stevemaraboli.com. abettertoday.com and empoweredlivingradio.com. We'll see you next time. Love you all.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.